It's an honor to be among you today. Let me assure you that Kathy and Lee and Richard have already given me a wonderful welcome. Keithan has built you up as a good group, and I must say it is refreshing. I didn't even know that there were still churches around that expected a two-hour-long sermon. I'll do what I can. Pray with me. God of light, you have revealed your very self to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, your one word made flesh who lived among us, full of grace and truth. Open to us your revelation once again, that in the words of Holy Scripture we might know your presence and follow your light always. Amen. Our reading today comes from the second chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 22. Listen for the word of God. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said this to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You'd think the waiting would be over by now. We've already done the big Christmas Eve thing, lighting the candles and singing Silent Night. We've already opened up the presents. We've gone to all the parties. We've gone to all the concerts. Some of you have already taken down your tree. Mariah Carey has gone back to wherever it is she goes after Christmas. And here we are in Luke's gospel, we haven't even gotten out of the same chapter with the Christmas story. And we're back to waiting. Simeon was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for something. Now, logic dictates that if he is waiting for the consolation of Israel, it must mean that Israel still needs consoling. When Jesus was born, Israel had been under Roman domination for 60 years. But more than that, when Jesus was born, Israel had been in exile for over 500 years. Oh, they were able to return to their homeland. That was the great promise that so many of the prophets told them. There's coming a time when you'll go back and God will reign. Well, they went back. God still wasn't reigning. Instead, they were still suffering, and Simeon felt it. His life was a mess. Just like ours. And his world was a mess. Just like ours. He was longing for something more. In my mind, I picture Simeon as a man advanced in years. The Bible doesn't say that. That's my interpretation, but it's the image that I get. He has been waiting many years. How many babies did he come up to in his life? Can I hold your son? What a beautiful baby. What a special kid. Just maybe not the one. You have a lovely child. He's been waiting long enough to give up on waiting. He's been waiting long enough to lose hope. In the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis describes the land of Narnia when four children from our world enter that land. It is a time where it is always winter, but Christmas never comes. Do you struggle sometimes getting into the Christmas spirit? Do you struggle sometimes with... There's all the carols and the trees and the greenery and the lights, but you just can't get into what the season is all about. Maybe you're so distracted by the preparations. It falls on you to make sure that the turkey gets cooked and the presents get wrapped and all the things happen. And so by the time Christmas gets here, It's hard to get into that spirit. Simeon was waiting. And now Jesus appears. How did he know that this was the one? With Anna, who we'll talk about in a minute, Anna's a prophet, so we understand that a little bit. We can at least understand what the biblical writer is telling us. Anna was a prophet, therefore she understood it. All that we hear about Simeon was he was guided by the Spirit. Is that vague enough for you? He was just minding his business, and then the Spirit guided him and said, "Simeon, I think maybe you need to go to the temple today." But he sees the child. Takes him in his arms, praises God. This is it. This is what he's been waiting for. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And he says words to Mary about the destiny of this child. It's not always going to be a good thing to be the mother of this child. He's destined not only to bring salvation, but to bring great grief to his loving mother. A sword will pierce your soul too. Anna comes on the scene, and she speaks about Jesus to all who are waiting. Because now, at least, it is possible to see a little bit of God's redemption breaking through. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, in the fullness of time, God sent God's Son. Do you hear the weight of that? In the fullness of time. That's not time that you measure in ticks of a clock or turning the page of a calendar. That's time that matters. That's not, I see by the calendar that 9 months have passed. That's, honey, my water just broke. But for a fleeting moment, Simeon and Anna catch a glimpse of Christ in their midst. Of God with us. It only lasts a moment. If you think about it, in the 5,000 years of recorded history, Jesus' 30-some years of life are a moment. An eye blink. But it changed everything, and it changes everything for Simeon and for Anna. And these glimpses of God with us, oh, that happens thousands of times. We gather together on Christmas Eve, and we light the candles, and we sing the carols, and somehow something becomes magical as we look into each other's faces. We hear the choir and they sing the anthem, and the notes and the harmonies just bring us into a different place. And we know and we affirm the truth in what they sing. God is with us. The pastor says that one thing, that one sentence, that one visual image that suddenly makes everything clear, and we know who we are, and we know whose we are, and we know what we must do next. Just a glimpse of God with us. It doesn't even have to happen in church. Have you ever witnessed the birth of a baby? I remember holding my newborn Rebecca in the hospital room, looking out the window and showing her the world. You want to tell me that I don't know what it means to say God is with us? Have you ever seen a sunrise that just thrilled your soul? Have you ever visited at the bedside of some dear saint who had already made her preparations to pass from this world into the next, and you sit with her and you pray with her and you leave every bit as blessed as you hope she was blessed by your coming? These things happen all the time. They happen more than we know, but they happen in God's timing, which means you can't predict them. You can't gin them up. I wish I could come here and give you a sermon titled Five Easy Ways to Discern God's Presence Among You. But it doesn't work that way, because our God works through grace. We can't gin it up. We can't crank up the volume and make it happen. But it happens. Fleeting moments. And even after they pass, and they do pass, because that's how life works. We're not built to live on the mountaintop. But even after they pass, we can remember them, and like Mary, we can ponder these things and hold them in our hearts. Don't ever underestimate how God might meet you. Don't ever take for granted that God is with us. Might not be able to see it. It might involve some waiting, and some of that waiting might even have to happen in the valleys. But God is with us. Don't discount how a moment in time could change everything. Amen. We will now sing our closing hymn. Perhaps in this moment in time, there is holy business that you would like to conduct. Perhaps in this moment in time, you would like to make a decision for Christ or for His church. If that is the case, Lee will be waiting for you at the pulpit. So let us stand as we sing.